the truth, the history, and the horror of crucifixion. For those of you that have missed that message and were interested in hearing it, you can go to the website. It's been recorded. And we could talk about that. It was a good talk, okay? So we did talk about those things, about the horrors of the crucifixion and the fact that our Lord went through it, and even our descriptions of what we talked about yesterday, even referring to the movie The Passion of the Christ, that it was nothing in comparison to what our Lord and Savior went through. Now today, we are talking about the word, the holiday, Easter. As I said before, I've always come up with it being called Resurrection Day. This is a day, again, that we choose as a nation to acknowledge the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, just like December 25th is the day that is chosen for us to acknowledge the birth of our Lord. Even though we should celebrate his birth, his earthly ministry as an example, and his death, burial, and resurrection, we should celebrate and acknowledge those things every day, not just on this day. Not just on December 25th. I understand that people in this world view it as a holiday, but it is much deeper for us. I hope you would understand that. Okay? There's something that was hitting me this week that I'm going to discuss a little bit. I had a friend of mine message me and say, he says it every year, he says it every Christmas, and he says it every Easter, Resurrection Sunday. He says, Happy Pagans Day. A lot of you that are paying attention in Christian circles would understand the word pagan or paganism. This is something that is used quite often during this time of year. You could turn on TikTok, YouTube, or whatever you want, Facebook videos, and see people that discuss why Easter is a pagan holiday. Is that true? The origins, they can make a case for it. They can. They can make a case that Easter, the Easter eggs and Easter bunny are all have pagan origins. I don't care. We are celebrating the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And here's what's funny. When people say, I'm not celebrating Easter, it's a pagan holiday. I'm not celebrating Christmas, it is a pagan holiday. Okay, well, let's talk about some pagan origins really fast. Okay? If you're going to be, in my opinion, Jamie says I'm guilty of this. Friends that are close to me say I'm guilty of this. They say that I'm a black or white person. I don't really have many shades of gray. Neither you are here or you're not. Neither you feel this way or you don't. My problem is that I do not allow myself to give myself much wiggle room for there to be shades of gray or an exception to the rule. My mom used to always say there's always an exception to the rule. For me personally, I feel like if you want to throw out the pagan concepts of Easter, then you better pull it out for everything. Don't just pick and choose what's pagan and what's not. Now, why am I saying this? How many of you have ever heard the term knock on wood? Raise hands. How many of you have ever used the phrase knock on wood? Pagan. Do you know why? Because the ancient Celtics believed that spirits were in trees. So what they would do is they would knock on wood in order to satisfy the gods and to distract evil spirits from getting in the way of their agenda. So in other words, I'm really hoping that I make it without no traffic. knock on wood, you're saying, in other words, I hope I get through the traffic and I hope no spirits get in the way of me doing that. Pagan. We still use it, right? But that's not what I mean. I know it's not what you mean, but it's pagan. It has a pagan origin. What's today? What was yesterday? What was the day before that? Friday. You understand that Friday has a meaning? Every day of the week has a pagan origin behind it? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday? Friday in particular? Frey Norse is the goddess of love. That's why people love Fridays. Pagan. Just pagan. Okay? Lawan. I'm talking to Jesse. Jesse, are the Chargers going to win the Super Bowl? Jesse says, I hope so. Cross my fingers. Pagan. Why? Because back in the day, a long time ago, pagans used to, not just with their own fingers, but they used to take a finger with someone else and wrap their finger, almost like a pinky swear, wrap finger together in order to stop or to slow down evil spirits. I'm crossing my fingers. Pagan practice. Here's the one that's going to mess you up. If I'm talking and I'm really, really tired, covering your mouth when you yawn. Pagan. Why? You would think, oh, it's not pagan. I'm trying to do that so I don't spread germs. Well, back in the day, right? They used to believe that the essence of your breath coming out, that when you yawned, part of your spirit was coming out. You were losing your spirit. That's why when you sneeze, someone says, God bless you. Okay? When you yawn, and that's the reason why they gave the reason why back in the day there was such a high number of infant deaths, because infants did not know how to cover their mouth when they yawned. You may say, you think this is like funny, right? It's silly to think, right? These are pagan practices. So when we talk about, I'm not celebrating Easter, it's a pagan. Okay, you're saying that. You understand that Nike is a pagan god? You put on some shoes and you're walking around with Just Do It? So let me get this straight. I got some Nike shoes on, right? And I'm hoping to get to the place on time, knock on wood, that everything works out. And I'm keeping my fingers crossed about it. Oh, Lord, I'm keeping my fingers crossed about it. And I'm a little tired and I cover my mouth and I yawn. I'm practicing all type of pagan practices with pagan origins. I think that our Lord did not make mention as to when the times in which he was born and when he was resurrected, simply because he knows that we would use it as a tool of worship and not worship him. So, with that said, we are choosing to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord on this day. But as believers, we must recognize the resurrection of our Lord every single day. That is the foundations of our faith. So why are we here? He's not here. He is risen. I'm sure all of you now, if you've gone to Target, Walmart, you see Easter baskets, Easter bunnies. I'm a huge fan of the Reese's Easter egg Reese's. I love them things, man. They're good. Forget Easter. Just sell those bad boys. I'll buy them all the time, right? But they only sell it during Easter time, right? You see all this stuff. You see all these things. You see, and now I praise God that all of you look normal today. None of you are wearing the decked out outfits. Okay? A lot of people do that. You go to churches, they got the funny, like I said, they're dying eggs. The hat, don't get started on the hats in the black church. Okay? The hats in the black church ain't got nothing to do with Easter. That's every Sunday. You got these big old decorated hats. But my point is that we see this every single year. And churches have managed to focus on those things and not focus on what matters. We look at it as the enemy. The enemy does not have to attack us with horrible, evil things. All they have to do is attack us with subtle changes, subtle things. When we find ourselves, our attention is on who's dressing and how they're dressed, on Easter eggs and Easter bunnies. That takes our attention away from what? I've shared these examples with you over and over again. I'm going to continue to share with you because it had a huge impact on my life. When I went to Israel, it did not change my life in the way you think it was. I've had people come to me afterwards. I had a woman. I got a lot of stuff out of Israel. I took a lot of stuff with me. Okay, a lot of stuff. Some stuff I recently learned, I recently learned some stuff that I took that I didn't know I wasn't supposed to take, but I did. I have a lot of stuff, and I had a lot of souvenirs. I still have the bag. The bag is about this big. I have a bag of salts from the Dead Sea. I took all types of stuff with me, and so when I came back, I had a whole lot of stuff to give the people. And one woman said, "Oh, Lawan, all I want is just a stone from the Holy Lands." This is so sorry. Forgive my animation, okay? It's true. Fine, I gave her a rock from Israel. How do I know it was from Israel? Because I got it. How does she know? She didn't. But would you be surprised if I told you that when she got that rock, she put it right next to her Bible in a very special place? Like a shrine, like a little piece of worship. I got a rock from the Holy Land. Do we forget that Jesus said it's not on this mountain or another mountain in which I will look for my people to worship? I want worship in spirit and truth. Isn't that what Jesus said? But yet people take Israel. Now, don't get me wrong. It's a great place to visit. But they take Israel and they're expecting some type of closure, some type of just super spiritual jump start. I told you before about the woman crying outside of the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. Remember? Do y'all remember that? Earl, I don't know how you have it numbered, but if we could just start, talking about pictures. If you can bring up maybe the first seven, one at a time. One of the things I learned about in Israel is he is not here, he's risen. Now, this photo right here, this is from the exclusive Lawan Johnson photographs. This is on the side of a road. Now, what's funny is if you notice here, and I don't have my little laser pointer here, but that is a tomb, and on the left side over here, there's a stone. That kind of gives an idea of what those look like. Now, that stone, that tomb and that stone was found cut out of a rock. Unfortunately, they had already put a highway there. So when you're driving by, minding your own business through Israel, you can actually run into that. And you can actually see the stone on the right, on the left-hand side, and the tomb is right there smack dab in the middle of the photo. That's what it looked like. So if you notice, if you look at that stone right there, that stone is not something that one man can move, or a woman by herself can move. It takes more than one to move that stone. Can you show the next photo, please? This here is the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. If you've noticed, if you guys remember last week, it's kind of hard because, again, I don't have my pointer, but that shadowy dark part right there, kind of on the left side, it's a little dark there. That's the door. So if you look at it, if you guys want to believe this, you most certainly can. I'm not here to debate with you about it because it's not that important. This is the place where the crucifixion of our Lord happened and the resurrection in the same, under the same roof. Okay? Some people debate about it. Some people swear by it. The Roman Catholic Church, that's it. And when you walk in there, you can tell. Next picture. This is the door that I took the night that we got to Israel. We went to Church of Holy Sepulchre. That's the picture that I took. Now, what's funny is they're about to close those doors. Because Israel is divided into so many different parts, you have the Christian, you have the Jew, you have the Muslim, and then you have another group. I forgot the name of that fourth group. It's the Israel is divided, and Jerusalem is divided into four parts. So you can actually walk, as you walk through Jerusalem, through the streets of Jerusalem, you can actually tell when you're in the Muslim area, you can tell when you're in the Christian area, you can tell when you're in the Jewish area. What's very interesting about this situation is because the Christians and the Jews had such disagreement about the Church of the Holy Sepulchre and who was in control over it, they gave it to Muslims. So a Muslim family is responsible for opening and closing the door daily because the Christian and the Jews are fighting about the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. So you don't see the guy in there, but there's a guy who every morning opens up the Church of the Holy Sepulchre and closes it, and he is a Muslim. He does not even believe. You show the next picture, please. Now, this is the photo that I told you about. Now, thankfully, I was able to find this photo. I was able to take this photo early in the morning. The next morning, I went there early, early in the morning. When the sun was still down, it was dark. I went there because no one was there. And this is where I got to see the woman. Normally, they weep over this slab, this marble slab. The reason why? 6 feet below that marble slab is where they believe is where the laying place where Jesus' body was prepared after he died. So the woman lays there in the front and weeps and prays and weeps and prays. The next picture. This is inside the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. This is the tomb in which they say Jesus rose again. All in the same building. Where all those people are gathered, if you walk to the right, just a little bit over to the right, you can touch where they say is Calvary, where Jesus was the rock and where Jesus was crucified. That's how close these things are together. Now, if you choose to believe that this is the location, it's 100% up to you. There's nothing biblical or unbiblical about it. Whatever you want to believe. What we know as believers is what? Jesus died on the cross and that he rose again. The location, does it matter? I don't think it matters to our Lord. Why? Because we see stuff like this. You see how decked out it is? Go ahead. Can you turn the next photo, please? This right here, it's very dark. But you see, if you see in the middle, it's kind of hard to see. In the middle of that, if you go down below under that altar, if you see a little image of what they say is Jesus, right? In the middle of that, if you go straight down and you go under, there's a little hole. You could put your hand down there and touch the rock of Calvary. Oh. Not mocking at all. This is the attraction. This is the biblical Disneyland. You see? You show the next picture, please? And that's kind of hard to see. That's just the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, the place where they say that Jesus rose again. Next photo? Okay, we can stop there for now. Now, this photo I took, I didn't take this picture. Yeah, because it's watermarked on it, right? The problem is when I was in Israel, it wasn't that pretty. Okay? This next shot here is just a shot of what they call the Garden Tomb. The second place they believe that Jesus was crucified and resurrected. So if you look straight ahead, that's the tomb. And if you go over to the left over, like just if I was to move the camera, move over to the left, you will see the place of the skull. Okay? Next photo. Now, Now, this is my picture. Okay? This is the tomb. It's inside the garden. They call it the garden tomb. This is all around a garden. Now, biblically, what do we know? We know that Mary Magdalene was crying and she saw a man and she thought he was a gardener. So historically, it makes sense. All right, next picture, please. That's inside. Sorry that I don't have video for you guys, but this is actually a shot from the video. When you go inside of that, and honestly, you can go any YouTube video, just say garden tomb video, and they'll show it to you. Next picture. This is inside. Next picture. So when you go inside and you turn to the right, this is where they say that Jesus laid. This is the garden tomb. Historically, it makes more sense. Historically, this is cut out of a rock. Historically, it's in a garden. The Church of the Holy Sepulchre, for some reason, the garden has been canceled out. Oh, also, this location is outside of the city of Jerusalem. You remember, Jesus was crucified outside the city, near a place where of the skull where people travel. I don't have a good picture of it, but when you see the place of the skull, if you look and you see the place of the skull and you look down, there's a bus station, highway. Just historically. Any more pictures we have? Yeah, that's the same thing, you know. Actually, it was funny, side note, for those of you that have been here long enough, the guy in the red right there, and the woman with the hat, that's Angela and Sam. They've been here at the church, I believe. Good people. Yeah, good people. Good friends. Oh, there we go. Place of the skull. This is right next to the garden tomb. It is believed that Jesus was crucified on top of that. Okay? Are there any more pictures? I think we're done with pictures for now. Okay, that's cool. Thank you. Thank you. Now, why did I share all of these things with you? It's not just about Easter eggs. It's not about bunnies. It's not about wearing pastel colors. We must know the story of our Lord. If you turn your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 28. Matthew, chapter 28. I'm going to go through a lot of verses. And you, if you want to write them down, that's great. But I don't expect you to stay with me because we're going to be going through a lot of verses today. And I'm just going to be really fast. I won't keep you very long. Matthew chapter 28, beginning in verse 1. What does it say? It says, "Now after the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the grave. And behold, a severe earthquake had occurred, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came down, rolled away the stone, and sat on it. And his appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were as white as snow. The guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. And the angel said to the woman, 'Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who has been crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, just as he said, come and see the place where he was laying.'" Now, if you were to take this Bible verse and go to the garden tomb, you could probably better relate to the situation. You can walk in and see where he is laying. If you go to the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, you have a better shot at getting into Disneyland on Saturday and meeting Walt Disney's family. It is impossible to go to the Church of Holy Sepulchre without there being so many people. You can't even get in. I went there at 5 in the morning and walked to that bad boy. They had so many masses and services that were taking place where the tomb was that it was impossible to get in. An interesting attraction, isn't it? So here's a question. Why is the resurrection important? Here's the thought. Would you believe me if I told you that many people don't believe that Jesus rose? And then also the fact, Jesus, that God rose Jesus from the dead. Let's quickly talk about the price that Jesus paid on the cross. Please write this down in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. What does it say? 2 Corinthians 5:21. And if you can't keep up, just come to me afterwards. I'll give you the verses. We are a Berean church. You should not take my word for it. Write them down. Look for them yourselves. I ask you not to trust me. Okay? Look at it for yourselves. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. He, who is he? God made him, who is him? Jesus, who knew no sin. He never committed a sin to be sin on our behalf. Substitution. He took your debt, my debt, our debt, and he paid the consequences for that, even though we are guilty of it. The crucifixion of Jesus Christ is the greatest tragedy in all of human history. He did not commit sin. God made Jesus to be sin on the cross for us. So in other words, when God looked at Jesus, he looked at him as if Jesus lived my life, your life, our life. But because he died on the cross and because he rose again, God looks at us now as if we lived his life without sin, blameless, above reproach. The horrors of the cross. Jesus was on the cross and God looked at him as if he was guilty of every single sin that any of us have or ever will commit. But because he died on the cross and because he rose again, now God looks at us as if we lived a perfect sinless life. What a God, what a great God we serve. He didn't have to do it. Most of us would have said, you know what, nah, get the eraser, start all over again. We'll just paint over this. That is why the death, burial, resurrection of our Lord is so important. How many of you believe that people do not believe that Jesus really did rise again? How many of you know that people believe that Jesus was not rose again? People believe it. Some people think that Jesus was a mythological resurrection, not a physical one. Jesus did physically raise. Some people believe that Jesus didn't rise from the dead and that he's not there now because the disciples stole his body. How many of you have heard that? It's in the Bible. But people still believe that to this day. How many of you remember Dan Brown's book, The Da Vinci Code? Not the same Christ. What did they say? Oh, he had a relationship with Mary Magdalene. They had kids. He was crucified. She went to France. And the bloodline of Jesus continues on to this day. Wrong. Dead wrong. Even the Muslims believe that Jesus was a great teacher. They deny his resurrection. They acknowledge his crucifixion. They deny his resurrection. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 11 through 15, it reads, "Now while they were on the way, some of the guards came into the city and reported to the chief priests all that had happened." Now remember, they had witnessed the angel. They witnessed the earthquake and they witnessed the rolling of the stone. "And when they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers and said, 'You are to say his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep. And if this should come to the governor's ear, we will win him over and keep you out of trouble.' And they took the money and they did as they had been instructed. And this story was widely spread amongst the Jews and is to this day." When you're in the military, one of the general orders is to, I don't remember them all, there's 13 of them, I don't remember any of them now, but some of them, I know one was do not leave my post unless I'm properly relieved. You know, it's all about your post, maintaining your post, standing at your post, guarding at your post. Why was it important that the Jews told him, "Hey, we're going to give you some money and tell him that the disciples stole his body while you were asleep. And if the governor hears about it, we're going to talk to him about it so you don't get in trouble." Because they knew that because they neglected their post, they could lose their lives. So instead of the Jewish authorities saying, "Too bad, so sad, I guess you're going to lose your life," they give him some money and said, "Hey, we're going to make an excuse for this. His disciples stole him while you were asleep." These strong, powerful soldiers fell asleep, and his disciples managed to take his body. This is in the Word of God now. Again, another attempt to deny the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Side note, let me make it clear. I know some of you have seen the movies, you've seen the cartoons. You see, you know, angel come up, and he puts his hand out, and then the stone just rolls away, and Jesus is standing there. Okay, listen, Jesus didn't need the angels. Okay? He didn't. I believe the angels were there for the humans. Jesus rose from the dead without the stone being rolled. It's not like Jesus woke up and the stones were rolled. "Hey, you guys, hey, can you let me out?" No. Jesus had already rose again. He had rose again. When the stone was rolled, he was already out. I just want to make that a side note, okay? God rose Jesus from the dead. In Acts chapter 2, verse 22 through 24, what does it say? It says, "Men of Israel, listen to the words. Jesus, the Nazarene, a man attested to you by God with miracles and wonders and signs which God performed through him in you, in your midst, just as you yourself know. This man, delivered over by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God, you nailed to a cross by the hands of godless men and put him to death. But God raised him up again, putting an end to the agony of death, since it was impossible for him to be held in its power." Number one, God knew about the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Do y'all believe that? It was predetermined. Do y'all want to know? I know you know this. Someone please throw out just the book and chapter when we first hear about the plan of Jesus' crucifixion? Genesis. Genesis chapter 3. Talking to the serpent. I'm sorry? Yeah. "You're going to crush his head. He's going to crush your head, you're going to bruise his heel." the crucifixion of Jesus. This is predetermined. And then God rose Jesus from the dead. Why? Because death cannot hold him. We talked about darkness and light, right? We talked about it a couple times. So much so that I lost my place in my sermon. We were talking about it the last time. We were talking about light and darkness. Jesus is light. In him is light. There's no darkness in him at all. Death cannot hold him. It was impossible to hold him. So with Jesus rising up again, it put an end to the agony, the pain of eternal separation from God. We are all going to die naturally. But the second death, the death which is eternal separation from God, this now ended the moment that Jesus rose again from the dead. The great pain of death, Jesus put an end to it. Us believing that God rose Jesus from the dead is one of the foundations of our salvation. Do y'all believe that? I can't hear you. Over here, what, do you guys hear me too? Okay, so let's do this. How about this? Let's see some proof. Let's talk about some proof here. In the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 9. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. Again, if you need these later, let me know. I will write them down for you. Romans 10, 9 reads that if you, you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It's a fundamental of our faith. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. That's true. There's theology there. But we are saved by, number one, confessing that Jesus is our master. He's our Lord. And we believe that God rose him from the dead. Without rising from the dead, we cannot have Savior Jesus as our Savior and Lord. A beautiful thing happened when Jesus rose from the dead. We became justified. Romans, if you go further, Romans chapter 4, verse 25, it reads, He who was delivered over because of our transgressions, because of our sin, and was raised because of our justification. In 5:1 it says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, what does that mean, Luan? That means that, here's the thing, when Jesus died on the cross and when he rose again, it broke away the separation between having a relationship with God for us as human beings. So these things that we're talking about here, it's not for everyone. It is for those that are in him. Do you get it? If I am a member of AAA, right? And Shanae is not, he can't call AAA to come and help him with his battery. He could say, well, would you help me? I'll join my membership. No, you don't even have a membership. We cannot help you. When we're talking about this text here, we're talking about the benefits of being in Christ. It is not for everyone. There are people that will reject Christ. This does not apply. Did Jesus die for their sins too? Absolutely. But you must be under him. Y'all know the story in Exodus? You know the story of the Passover? They put blood on their windowsills and on their doors so that the angel of death will pass them by. Passover. Jesus, the same thing. If you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you now have his blood on your windowsill, on your heart, and so that when death, eternal death, comes to take those that are not in him, that death will pass us by. Hallelujah. As a song, "It Is Well With My Soul," says, my sins, I can't sing it. It gets emotional. My sins, not in part, but the whole, is what? It is nailed to the cross, and I bear them. They're nailed to the cross and I bear them no more. Praise the Lord, all my soul. It is well with my soul. It's been years. I don't understand why that verse gets me every single time. The glorious thought that all of my sins have been nailed to the cross and I don't have to be burdened by them anymore. So I praise the Lord. It was God's work in the resurrection of Jesus Christ that gave us hope, not our own. Not our own. Listen, I understand that you're a Christian. I understand that you've been to church every single Sunday. I understand that you read your Bible every single day. Let me tell you something right now. The Holy Spirit is working in you, and that is a beautiful thing, but you never once had the ability or the chance or never will save yourself. God has done the work. We were at war with God. Light has nothing to do with darkness. 1 John says, in him is light and there is no darkness at all. If we are born into sin, we are darkness. We are at war with God. Wait a minute, I've never been at war with God. You were born into sin, were you? Yes, you're at war with God. But there's a hope. Colossians chapter 1, we went over this a couple weeks ago, verse 21 and 22. Although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet he, who is he? God has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death. Whose fleshly body through death? Jesus. In order to present you, who's presenting who? In order for Jesus to present us to him, to who? To God, holy, holy, blameless, and beyond reproach. In other words, we were at war with God, fighting him with our lust, fighting him with our sin. Jesus comes, dies on the cross, raises again, takes us under his wing, cleans us up, and presents us before God as holy and blameless. Remember what we talked about the idea of the truth of substitution? He's presented us holy and blameless. It is not the work that you did. I've lived a holy Christian life. I'm sure you did. I'm sure you did. I'm sure you did. But you didn't do anything. God did it all. We were at war with God. But because he died on the cross and rose again, and we accept him as Savior and Lord, now we have peace with him. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then what's the point? If Jesus did not rise from the dead, you understand that me standing here is pointless. You all sitting here is pointless. If Jesus did not die on the cross, our eternal hope is pointless. all of us are doomed to hell if Jesus did not die on the cross. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 4, it says, "And if Christ had not been raised, then our preaching is vain, and your faith also is vain." The fundamentals of our faith comes from the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's needed for our faith. It's needed for our salvation. So that's why we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, not just today, can anyone tell me in Genesis the test that Abraham was given? Kill Isaac. Y'all remember that? Show of hands. Y'all know the story? Okay. We talked about this before. In Exodus chapter 22, verse 7, they're about to do a sacrifice. And what does Isaac say? It says, "As Isaac spoke to Abraham and to his father, and said, 'My father,' and he said, 'Here am I, my son.' And he said, 'Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb to be the burnt offering?'" Later on, Abraham says that the Lord will provide. We all know the story. He was going to kill his son, and God stopped him. And if you remember in your reading, or if you remember in the sermon, John chapter 1, verse 29, John the Baptist is baptizing, and he sees Jesus, and it says, "The next day he saw Jesus coming to him and said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world.'" You understand, as we talked about before, where Abraham was going to kill Isaac because they could not find a lamb, it was the exact same location in which Jesus was crucified. You understand that, right? Same location. John is saying, "Behold the Lamb of God." So you're telling me that in John, if you go to, well, let's say John, let's say Matthew, Mark, you understand from Genesis, you read Genesis, okay? I'm going to give you an idea. Because obviously, you know, this is just something to think about. Okay, you see this much space right here, right? We're looking for the Lamb of God. Isaac said, "Where's the lamb?" Did Abraham later sacrifice a lamb? No, he sacrificed a ram. The Lamb of God was coming, and it was our Lord. The Lamb is coming. The Lamb has come and died on the cross. Last thing I'm going to share with y'all. There's a lot of people that are celebrating Easter. There's a lot of people that skip church to celebrate Easter. There's a lot of people that don't read their Bibles or don't know who Jesus is, but they are celebrating Easter. When Jesus was on the cross, we talked about the horrors of it. He was without any clothes. He was completely humiliated. And he was crucified in a place where people were constantly coming, and they were coming by the thousands because they were heading to the temple. They were heading to celebrate a holiday. We find it interesting that while people were walking and seeing Jesus hung on the cross, they mocked him. We have biblical proof of that. We talked about it last week. They mocked him. They shook their heads like, "Ugh." You want to see? Want to give you a visual of this? These people were mocking God as they were headed to the temple. The people were mocking God while they were headed to the temple. How many of us are doing this? We don't know who he is, but yet we want to celebrate Christmas and sing, if you listen to any of the Christmas hymnals, there's so much theology in it if you actually pay attention. But, you know, we're so quick to jump up and, oh, Easter, and oh, this, and oh, that. You're doing all of this, and you don't even know who he is. People were shaking their heads. Oh, look at this guy. And they're heading to the temple. Last thing, when Jesus was on the cross, he said a word. The word was in Greek, telo. More formal, telelesta. It is finished. In the Greek, telelestai has three different places where you can use it. It is finished. For business transactions, it means that the debt was fully paid. But you're dealing with business. From a courtroom perspective, it is saying that the sentence was fully served. In the military, it means that the battle was fully won. Telelestai. Jesus said, it is finished. In other words, if you are in him, the debt is paid. Hallelujah. If you are in him, that means that the sentence of death and hell has been fully satisfied. You don't have to worry about it no more. Hallelujah. It also means, in military terms, it means that the battle, the fight, the war that you have with God, the fight that you're doing with God, that is a winless battle, is now over. So in other words, your debt's been paid, the sentence has been taken care of, and the war is over. It is finished. And all of this comes into effect because he is risen. He beat death. You have a savior that destroyed and beat death. I'm not here to tell you what you should and shouldn't do as believers or as people, as human beings. If you're leaving here and you're going to an Easter egg hunt, by all means, it's nothing wrong with it. Do what you do. I may go on over to Target and, especially after tomorrow, go and pick up some of them discounted Reese's eggs. You know they're going to be a discount, right? You know, if you're... Easter bunnies, Easter eggs, special candy, special candles, special colors, all that stuff, fine. As long as you do not forget that we worship a God who is alive and well today. And he rose again for us to make us right with him. Honestly, I'm ready to jump out of my skin right now and take off running and praising and worshiping God for this. I pray that you understand the intensity of our Lord raising from the dead. When he said it was finished, he meant it.